Chapter 6. Corsaro took the moment with a hunter's daring. Engines growled in pleasure as he rode the bike up the burning hull of the wrecked Razorback, passed through the flames and caught the wind. Wheels spinning, the bike shot towards the hovering form of Shadow Sun. Corsaro tore Moonfang from its sheath as his proximity registered with the Tau commander. Like a rabbit caught in the shadow of an eagle, Shadow Sun turned and brought up one of her fusion blasters, but too slowly. The bike's front wheels smashed into her chest and head, and they fell in a tangle, slamming down onto Rime Crag in an explosion of snow and with a snarl of metal on metal. The impact dislodged Corsaro from his saddle, but he was on his feet in a moment. Moonfang licked out, chopping through a shield drone and cutting it into two sparking halves. Shadow Sun was up a moment later, batting the bike aside with a whir of unseen pistons, even as the fusion blaster on her other arm came up and fired. Corsaro stepped aside. Heat from the blast washed over him, crisping the tips of his moustaches. He recovered quickly, snatching his bolt pistol from its holster. He snapped off a shot from the hip and was rewarded by Shadow Sun staggering. He fired again, but the second shield drone interfered. Shadow Sun recovered. She cocked her head.
"Khan Corsaro, I presume," she said in Gothic, her voice amplified by her armor's voxcasters.
Corsaro restrained a growl of disgust. The language of terror was not by any stretch his favorite tongue, but the Emperor had decreed that it was Imperator Lingua, the voice of humanity. To hear an alien debasing it so revolted him.
"I am Corsaro Khan, master of the hunt and sword of the Khan, and you are Shadow Sun," he said.
"My fame precedes me," she said.
Though it was difficult to tell, given her accent and the distortion of the voxcaster, he thought that that had been a joke. He shook his head.
"A hunter knows his prey," he said.
He extended Moonfang and circled her with a duelist's grace. Her armor was heavier than his, but not as battle-tested. She was hesitant, where a more confident warrior would be aggressive, as if she were as yet uncertain of her battlesuit's limits. Or perhaps she was holding back for fear of killing him. The thought grated, but he shoved the insult aside. That was his advantage, not hers.
"And a huntress knows hers," Shadow Sun said.
"I almost had you at Blackshear Ridge," Corsaro said.
"Indeed, we were surprised. We are not used to being on the back foot."
She had begun to circle him, even as he circled her, matching his movements, if not his grace. Her armor was scorched and scored, but it didn't appear damaged. Nonetheless, his keen eyes picked out a number of possible weak points, where a thrust from Moonfang might pierce the armor and possibly reach the meat within the shell.
"Do you understand my meaning?"
"I take it well enough," he said.
He lowered Moonfang slightly. She would not take it as an invitation to attack, he knew. Her armor was kitted out for distance and power, not personal jewels. She was trying to keep him occupied while her warriors picked off his. That had been her plan all along. A slow whittling, a gradual blooding, to weaken but not kill him, like a hunter prodding a wild auroch until the beast collapsed at last, its fury spent. They were still fighting, but with words now, rather than blades. They were feeling each other out, so that the final blow could be delivered as effectively as possible.
"It is our way," he said. "But you know that now, no?"
He narrowed his eyes.
"You have been studying us. We have fought before, but only in isolated engagements. This was your chance to see how we waged war, and you took it. You led us in, and took us apart to see how we functioned. You gave us too much room, and then too little. Stretched us and squeezed us and baited us into ever more narrow burrows. You were clever."
"Not clever enough, clearly," she said. "You are here."
He smiled despite himself.
"But that is what you expected, eh? That is why you are here, rather than back there. You thought I would lead the charge, so you came to capture me personally. Was that what your hunting eagles were for? To wear me out?
She said nothing, and he continued.
The Krut. They were fighting to disable, not kill. I'd wager there was more than one pack of them, just in case.
A sound slithered from her. It took him a moment to realize that it was laughter.
I have fought your kind before. Few have proven themselves so quick, she said. You fight and think fast. Now that is why you had to be trained. If you fight so differently, you must think differently. If you think differently, then you can be reasoned with.
The bolt pistol in his hand twitched, and the shield drone reacted with predictable speed, responding to the micro gesture. He wondered if her battlesuit was analyzing him, gauging his heart rate and breathing, recording, cataloging everything about him for her masters to pore over once this campaign was done.
They wish to tame the storm, he thought.
They wanted to chain and compel that which should not be chained, and force a false order over the natural. It was their way, as it was the way of the White Scars to defy such.
You are the center, he thought, eyeing her. You are the spoke, and your warriors the wheel. Where you go, the true war is fought.
Reasoned with, he said.
He must know more. Every word, every gesture was its own tale. What war was he fighting? Was this for Agrellon or something greater?
You do not think like the others, Shadow Sun said. Your thoughts are more fluid, more like ours,
she continued, switching to a crude dialect of Korchin.
My folk grew strong on the plains, like yours. We broke cities then, and we have broken worlds since. Just as you have done.
His lips peeled back from his teeth, but not in a smile. Not now.
Set your sword aside, and we will speak at length. Over glasses of Chinua wine and a game of go, Khan Khosrow. We will speak of Chogoris and the ways of plainsfolk and warriors. We will speak of the greater good.
If he had been any other man, Khosrow knew that the temptation would have been overwhelming. There were too many layers of meaning in her words, implicit threats and promises that would take days to decode. The hunter in him longed to follow all the tracks and trails she was laying before him. But he was not simply a hunter. He was the master of the hunt, and he had his duty. He sighed and looked up at the stars, fading into the dull iron sky of an Agrellon dawn. This world was poisoned and worth nothing but the lives that would be spent in its defense, including those of him and his men, if that was the way of it.
I would like some wine, he said,
and his lips quirked in a smile as he looked at her.
But we have already been playing, Huntress, and the time has come to draw our game to an end.
Khosrow slid forward, barely stirring the snow. The shield drone hummed between them as he raised his bolt pistol. He fired rapidly, but not at either the drone or its mistress. Instead, he fired at the ground. His shots tore steam from the slushy ground as each of the explosive bolts superheated the snow into a white fog, which cascaded upwards, enveloping him and his enemy both. The shield drone hovered, blinded, and he took it first, catching it from below with Moonfang. Piercing the drone, he slung it towards Shadow Sun, who fired instinctively, erasing her own drone from existence. He was on her a moment later, his sword chopping down through the barrel of one of her weapons, rendering it useless. She flung the shattered weapon aside as she brought up its twin and fired. Her jetpack roared and she slid backwards away from him, still firing. He pursued her, narrowly avoiding the blasts. The world narrowed to just him and her. He held Moonfang in both hands, arms cocked, ready for the killing thrust. If he could just reach her, even if she killed him, it would be over. She knew it as well as he did. It had been a calculated risk on her part, as it had been on his. Victory was never the sweeter than when it was balanced by death.
Cat quick, Corsaro leapt. She fired, and he felt heat brush past him, scouring his shoulder plate of its white and red markings, and leaving only the grey of bare ceramite as he crashed down on her, driving his sword down with all of his weight behind it. She twisted, desperate now, and the blade caressed her side, tearing through the white armour like paper. He grabbed for her helm, digging talon-like fingers into it, trying to destroy her optic senses, to blind her for the kill. A blade, a primitive-looking knife, flashed, suddenly appearing in her hand. It kissed his neck, drawing a thin wheel of blood. They hit the ground in a tangle, and her feet caught him in the belly, propelling him away. He lost his grip on Moonfang and slid across the ground. She tossed aside her remaining blaster and tore her crushed and mangled helmet from her head. A topknot of hair, as crimson as a Chagorian sunset, unspooled and snapped out as a slate's blue face with large dark eyes glared at him. He recognized the look in those eyes, alien as they were.
"Maybe we are alike," he said, drawing his combat knife. "Come then, Huntress. Come and take my scalp."
With a cry, she lunged for him, knife in hand. They reeled back and forth through the snow, blocking and slashing. Her blade bit into his vambraces, driven deep into the ceramite by the powered exoskeleton of her armor. His own knife gouged great scars in her armor, driven as much by his own muscle as his power armor. They whirled about one another in a deadly dance, and he laughed deep and loud and long for the pleasure of it. They crashed together, blade to blade, and he leaned towards her, smiling widely. In her eyes, he saw reflected the joy that he knew danced in his own.
"We are not so different, Shadow Son, and in other circumstances I would dance with you again. You are a worthy challenge," he thought. "And you would tame us," he said. "For shame. There is no taming this storm, and there is no chaining the hunters of the stars. There is only the hunt and death. Duty, honor, empire, these are but shadows in this moment, in all moments," he said.
They strained against one another, heads so close that he could smell her sweat and see his face reflected in her eyes.
"You know that as well as I, Huntress. You feel it as well, and that is why you are doomed to fail,"
he said, stabbing at the core of her with each word. There was something indefinable in her gaze, determination perhaps tinged with what might have been sadness. The joy had faded. She had lost herself, but only for a moment. He felt a surge of satisfaction that he had been able to give her that much, even if it had only been a single moment of freedom. Their knives grated against one another. She longed to kill him, to cut his heart out with her blade and her hands. But that was not the way of it. Not today. She shoved him back and withdrew, her armor carrying her speedily away from him. He stumbled momentarily off balance. She scooped up her fusion blaster and spun, leveling it at him before he could reach her. He felt a moment of sadness, both for her sake and his own. She was a cunning creature, locked in chains that she didn't even see. She deserved a clean death, a warrior's death, if nothing else. Instead, he would die here, and his men would die, and it would all be for nothing.
"He's here," Tolui said. "He's coming."
He looked up from the vox.
"The Khwarezmian rides, my Khan."
The vox in his hands crackled, and Korchin curses spattered the air in erratic fashion. That was Garchai, all right, Semaka thought. No one else in the Ordu had as wide or as sulphurous a vocabulary as the Khwarezmian. Semaka backhanded a fire warrior that got too close and stomped on the downed Xenos's chest. He fired his bolt pistol, emptying the clip. Shadow Sun had brought more troops than he'd thought. The Tau had unpleasantly accurate fire, and his armor was scorched and marked by the evidence of that accuracy, as well as his position as Tolui's breathing shield.
"Well, it's about time," he growled.
He tossed aside the empty pistol and scooped up a chunk of still smouldering wreckage to block the firepower coming his way. They were in a standoff. There weren't enough white scars to break the enemy, but the enemy weren't determined enough to push through. The Tau was squeamish, for which he was thankful. They spared concern for their wounded and refused to commit suicide. It made them harder to kill in bulk, but kept them from mounting an effective assault.
Contact the others. We need to regroup and hit them as one, so that the Khwarezmian can sweep them from the ridge. Where is the Stormseer?
Lightning crackled, and Tau screamed as something exploded. Semeka shook his head.
Never mind. There he is. Leave him to me, but contact Jebe and that dark armored nitwit with the axe. Get them back here.
Tolui bent to obey. Semeka scanned the battlefield. It was as disorganized a mess as any warrior of the Ordu could hope for, and he took a certain pride in the general air of confusion which lingered over things. This was how war should be waged. A riot of color and noise, eventually subsumed in silence. Shots struck the chunk of wreckage he was using as a shield. Every vibration that shook the twisted metal in his hands shook a bit more blood from the wound in his side. He was dying. The fact did not frighten him. He had come close many times over his long life, and when he met it, it would be as a friend. That said, he didn't intend to make it easy on whoever killed him. The fire warriors were getting closer, trying to pound him flat with sheer volume of fire. He lunged forward and crashed into the group, treading them under or sending them flying. He used the chunk of wreckage like a club, swatting them from their feet. When it became too unwieldy, he tossed it aside and hefted a dazed Tau over his head and sent him flying into his fellows with bone-shattering force. Pain tore through him as one of the alien soldiers rammed a knife into his open wound. Semeka caught his opponent's arm and jerked the fire warrior forward, dropping his elbow on top of the smooth curve of the alien's helmet. Metal buckled, and the Tau dropped insensate.
"Where is the Khan?"
he shouted to Tolui, plucking the knife from his side. He upended the blade and sent it spinning into the barrel of a Tau rifle. The weapon exploded as its owner tried to fire.
"If he knows that Garchai is on the way, maybe he won't do anything stupid." "I saw him head that way, in pursuit of the Xenoswitch,"
Tolui said. He cracked a Tau in the head with the vox.
"Go find him, old man. We'll hold here."
Semeka hesitated and then nodded. Stiffly, one hand pressed to his side, he moved across the ridge. Bikes roared past, guns blazing. The Tau were trying to regroup, but seemed confused, as if their commander was otherwise occupied. Semeka grunted. He had a feeling that he knew why that might be. Something cold clutched at his hearts, as if a shadow had passed over him. Maybe Ambergai wasn't the only one the spirit spoke to. He began to run, despite the pain, despite the ache in his side and the red fog that nearly blinded him. Wherever Shadow Sun was, that was where Corsaro would be. He caught sight of the familiar flash of Moonfang in the light of the nearing dawn. Something in him tore, and he coughed blood. He saw them strain against one another, his Khan and the alien commander. Saw them break apart, saw the weapon rising in her hand, and he knew what was coming next. And without a second thought, he leapt. Corsaro tensed, ready to make his final lunge. Her finger tightened on the trigger. Semeka crashed into him as the fusion blaster roared. Corsaro scrambled to his feet. He looked down into the old man's upturned face.
"There, here,"
he wheezed, smoke rising from between his lips.
"The Khwarezmian has come."
Corsaro turned and saw shadows sweeping across Rimecrag as the Stormbringer squadron entered the fray. Landspeeders and Landspeeder storms raced through the air, weapons firing as they weaved over and between the Tau transports. The remaining battlesuit turned about and fired, plucking one of the Landspeeders from the air. but it was forced to hunker behind its shields as more swarmed it, circling it and firing at it from every angle. The battle suit was fast, but the land speeders were faster. A land speeder Typhoon turned sharply, its lethal payload erupting from the twin pods mounted on its upper hull. Missiles streaked towards the battlesuit, consuming its shield drones and rocking the heavy battlesuit. It refused to fall or retreat, however, and it raised its weapon, pursuing the Typhoon with a barrage of its own. More land speeders circled it, cutting tight turns and engaging in a dazzling display of aeronautic acrobatics, such as only the White Scars could conceive of. Multi-melters seared the air, and heavy bolters bellowed. The battlesuit reeled as smoke erupted from the craters that now pockmarked its frame. With the battlesuit thus occupied, the rest of the squadron peeled off, homing in on the transponders carried by every White Scar biker. Missiles streaked from the Typhoons, corkscrewing into the open compartments of the Tau transports as the fire warriors began to retreat. Land speeders hunted the Xenos, chewing up the ground around them with heavy bolter fire in an effort to herd them away from the surviving White Scars. Other land speeders hurtled down the line of the ridge, assault cannons roaring a red greeting. Shadow Sun turned, her smooth features wrinkling in consternation. She lifted her fusion blaster and then lowered it with a shake of her head. Corsaro still knelt beside Semeca. Old Shatterhand was dying, red bubbles forming at the corners of his mouth as he tried to speak, to breathe. He'd been cut in two by the blast, and Corsaro shifted slightly so that Semeca couldn't see his own legs lying some distance away.
"Told you so,"
the old man hissed. His fist tapped weakly against Corsaro's leg.
"Stupid," he gurgled.
"Easy, old man. The Khwarezmian is here. You'll be fine. You've survived worse,"
Corsaro said, knowing it was a lie even as he said it.
"You'll survive this."
He looked up. The sound of engines shook the ridge. Hasek and his bikers had made it through and come back. The Kamar were making a fighting withdrawal. Their ambush had been ambushed, and they knew when they were beaten. They wouldn't stay gone long, however. He knew that they would have a long, hard ride ahead of them, back to their own lines. The old man gripped his wrist, and Corsaro looked down.
"My thanks are dead,"
Semeca said, staring up at the lightning sky.
"No, so am I."
His gaze sharpened just for a moment.
"They'll make me a ghost warrior boy,"
he rasped, and there was real fear in his words. For the first time in his final moments, old Shatterhand was frightened. The thought of being interred within the armored sarcophagus of a dreadnought caused even the staunchest warrior of the Ordu to quail. To be made one of the ghost warriors meant an eternity of sterile slaughter, never to feel the wind or taste the blood of the enemy. Bloody fingers dug into Corsaro's arm.
"Don't let them,"
he coughed. His eyes were wide, blood spattered into his beard. Then, with a querulous sigh, his face went slack, and his hands flopped limply to the snow. Corsaro hesitated. There was an apothecary with Garchai, he knew. Semeca would be stabilized, kept hovering between the land of blood and the land of ghosts until such time as he could be encased in an adamantine biocoffin and join the ranks of the living dead. He was too valuable to lose to such a shallow death. Old Shatterhand was a legend, a god-killer and a master of war. The seers would oversee his return, and they would awaken him to fight anew. Unless there was nothing left to awaken. He looked up at Shadow Sun, who was shouting orders to her troops. She met his eyes as he rose to his feet.
"He was my commander once,"
he said softly. He knew she could hear him.
"He was never my friend.
for he had none. But he was my brother and my teacher, and he did not deserve this death. And he does not deserve what will happen next.
They stared at one another as the battle swept on around them. She had faced dreadnoughts before, he knew, even as she likely knew, after all this time studying the warriors of the Ordu, what such a fate meant to them. Then, just as he began to fear that he'd misjudged her, Shadow Sun inclined her head slightly and he stepped back. Her fusion blaster vomited plasma, and Samaka's body was enveloped in a Pyrrhic shroud. Corsaro expelled a breath and looked at her.
Your days are numbered. Count them one by one and cherish them. You have earned this one, but our dance is not yet finished, Huntress. Wherever you go, wherever you wage war, I will pursue you. And when the appointed day dawns, your head will join the others on the White Road.
Shadow Sun held his gaze for a moment.
We could have been great friends, Huntsman, she said finally.
Her armor wavered, and a moment later, she was gone, lost to his sight. The sounds of bolter fire trickled off as the tower retreated, leaving Rhyme Crag to the battered remnants of the third company. Corsaro looked down at the char stain that marked Semeca's passing and nodded to himself.
Yes, he said. I'd rather think we could have.
He sheathed Moonfang and trudged up towards the summit of the ridge. The survivors had fallen back to join the new arrivals. He could see the Khwarezmian among them, his armor wreathed in silks and furs, and his beaked helmet painted to resemble a wolf's skull. Garchai clasped forearms with him when Corsaro reached them a few moments later.
My Khan, I'm glad to see that you haven't killed them all. I was worried when we couldn't find them on our sweep, the Khwarezmian said,
one hand resting on the pommel of the heavy blade Tolwar sheathed on his hip. He cocked his head.
The old man?
He asked. Corsaro gestured to the sky.
His spirit rides with the storms, as do those of our brothers who enabled us to escape the trap we were led into. As all of ours may do before this day is done.
He slapped a hand against Garchai's arm.
But we're not dead yet. Mount up, brothers. We must be quick. The enemy will regroup and seek to harry us,
he said as he looked around.
A new day is upon us, and we still have a war to wage.
He paused.
Our hunt is over. We ride for Agrellan Prime.
That was Damocles, a Warhammer 40,000 apocalypse anthology, written by Phil Kelly, Guy Haley, Ben Counter, and Josh Reynolds, read by Jonathan Keeble. This recording is copyrighted 2014 by Games Workshop.